Dredd and Rogelski in the studio. Time for our Mendocino Coast Health Report. It's Tuesday, so we welcome in Dr. William Miller from Adventist Health Mendocino Coast. Going to talk a little bit about distribution of vaccines and how the hospital is dealing with COVID and other matters. So good morning, Dr. Miller.
Good morning. Thank you, as always, for giving me this opportunity. The big question, I think, on everybody's mind is what's going on with the vaccine rollout to the general public. And I want to start by saying that just by explaining to people how this is trickling down from the state level. So at the state level, decision was made to send out the vaccine to different groups through different channels. And I think that this decision was made because the thought was, well, that will be the most efficient so that we can avoid bottlenecks. So, for example, Adventist Health and all of the other major health systems received their doses directly. We received through Adventist Health Corporate the doses that were directed to be given to the healthcare workers that worked for Adventist Health. We were not given any doses beyond just what we had would need for our own folks. And of course, we were able to roll that out very quickly and very efficiently. And I believe something like 1,000 of the 1,300 healthcare workers in the county have now been vaccinated that work for Adventist Health or one of our clinics. So that's been very efficient. I think because people have seen that, they've made an assumption that the rollout for the general public is therefore also occurring through Adventist Health and the hospitals, and that's not true. What you have seen so far has been just that allotment of vaccinations which were specifically sent to each healthcare system. So Sutter got it, Kaiser got it, we got our allocation at Adventist Health, and that was for our own people. Another route that was or is to be used is the route that's going to nursing homes, and that allocation is being done through CVS Pharmacy. And for various reasons, I think that there was some snags and slow starts initially with that. But it is my understanding that nursing homes and nursing home residents are now starting to receive the vaccine. Of course, that's another one of the top tier groups. We were able to help Sherwood Oaks through the county. The county did give us some extra doses out here in our hospital, specifically so that we could help Sherwood Oaks get their staff vaccinated. But that was a special allocation that was not part of the Adventist Health allocation. And we did that because we knew that Sherwood Oaks was at high risk potentially. So we were able to do that. Also, MCC, Mendocino Coast Clinic, got vaccinated early on, but that was another route, an allocation route, which was given specifically to FQHCs, federally qualified health centers. So you've heard about different healthcare-related groups getting vaccinated. And, of course, we're all looking forward to when the general public is going to start getting that vaccine. That is going through the county. So those allocations for the public are going to public health, the different public health county offices across the state, and they are putting together their own plans for how to do this. Now, it is my understanding that our county is planning to do mass vaccination clinics. And I know that they are in the process of putting that together. I know that there is a lot of focus appropriately on making sure that this is done in an ethical and fair way and also is trying to follow the algorithms that the state has developed on who should get it in what order. I think those algorithms are a little bit complicated and maybe in retrospect were a little bit too complex, but nonetheless, they are important because it's not going to be first come, first serve here in California. It's going to be directed based on need, and need is based on a couple of factors. Age is certainly one of the main factors. Another major factor is predispositions, you know, pre-existing conditions that put you at a higher risk. A third factor is what a person's exposure risk is. So that's why healthcare workers have gotten higher on the tier. And the last factor that goes into this calculation is whether a person is doing an essential function that if they were taken out by the epidemic, it would create a wave of further negative impact. So that's where your firefighters and your paramedics and those people come in as well. So I know that this is a very complex thing. I believe that we are right on the edge of finding out how the general public rollout is going to occur. And once again, that general rollout will have a hierarchy of some sort, which, as I've said, will take into consideration things like the risk of exposure for a particular category of people, and age, and pre-existing conditions. And those pre-existing conditions aren't just any health problem. You know, the main health issues that are concerning are diabetes and obesity, and maybe pre-existing lung conditions. But the main ones are diabetes and obesity that are the biggest risk factors for this epidemic. So anyway, I know that people are really anxious. I'm getting a lot of calls daily. I want to just reiterate that the hospital and myself in particular, I am not part of the planning or decision-making about how this is going to roll out, but I am certainly trying to help support the county and Dr. Corin, who's doing, I think, an excellent job with a tough challenge. He's, our county health officer. And as soon as I get any information, I'll be sharing it as best I can as well.
All right.
So let me pause there and see if you have any questions or comments.
No. I think very specific there, Doctor. Absolutely. Anything else?
Yes, real quickly. Another question that I'm getting a lot right now is a question or concern is based on what people are seeing down in the southern and central parts of the state. And absolutely, the situation has gotten even worse since the last time we spoke about it. Hospitals, even in the Central Valley, I heard one hospital near Fresno that has a 20-bed ICU capacity, has something like 48 patients who are intubated. They've got patients in the hallways who are critically ill. Right now, knock on wood, we're doing pretty good here. We do not, at this moment, as I'm speaking, do not have any COVID patients in our hospital here on Fort Bragg. We have not been asked yet to take any patients from outside the county in recent weeks. I've lost track now, but maybe it was about 3 months ago, we did take three patients from far away, and those were turned around very quickly, and we were able to discharge them. They weren't that critically ill. And certainly, since we now belong to a sister ship with the other two hospitals in the county through Adventist Health, Ukiah and Willits, we do share patients as resource, you know, to apply our resources across the county as best we can. So occasionally we send patients over there for various reasons, and occasionally we take patients over here. And some of those patients have been COVID patients, but that is completely appropriate and part of the sharing arrangement of resources that we have done that has no negative impact on our abilities out here. And really, those numbers have been fairly small anyway. But like I said, we have, knock on wood, not yet been asked to accept any patients from outside the county. I still think that that's probably only a matter of time. I'm surprised that we haven't been asked yet. And if we are asked, that ask we're not going to be able to really say no. I mean,
sure.
It's not like one of these things where we can make that kind of decision. If when I say we're asked, in quotes, it's not that kind of a request. It's
right.
We would have to do it if we could, because we are a hospital that's licensed by the state, and there is a statewide and nationwide disaster going on, and in a disaster situation, those healthcare resources belong to the community, to the larger community. I'm very, very sensitive to the fact that a lot of people in our community are very worried. Oh, gee, what would happen if our hospital got overwhelmed because of influx from outside? Or what would happen if we accept ICU patients and that triggers us to go into the more lockdown tier? And these are just things that we're just going to have to deal with if that comes to it. You know, we have a very robust surge plan, and we are not going to be asked to take patients beyond what we can handle. We, even in the worst case scenario, we would only be accepting patients up to what we can handle and what we could deal with. But anyway, so I hope that answers some questions. And at least gives information. I think information helps to allay fear, and that's the situation.
All right, Doctor. Thank you. And again, a reminder that if you caught just part of this or you want to hear that again, that's the point. You can go to the Coast webpage, and this edition of the Mendocino Coast Health Report will be there along with past efforts. Doctor, thank you very much for a concise and detailed report.
You're welcome.
Rogalski here from the Coast.